first part, the announcements and everything.
It's definitely on, isn't it? Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Pat Thornton, and my wife Pam and I will be assisting with service. Pastor Heather is on a trip with the youth today, so we pray for their success and safety today as they go on their trip together. Also serving with Pastor Tom Carver. Pastor Tom is our senior pastor here at the church. We do have a few announcements this morning. Don, you want to come up, or Dave? Dave Phillips? Dave, do you want to come up first? Oh, Don, okay.
Here it is. Hi, I'm Don Mitchum with the Adult Ministries team, and you see on the screen that on the last Sunday of the month, 27th, there will be what we call Newcomers Gathering, and it will be up in Upper Fellowship Hall at 9:45 during the Sunday School Hour. The purpose of Newcomers Gathering is to help people learn more about Asbury, especially if you are a new person in our congregation, been visiting for a while. It's the great step that you might want to take. If you would like to learn more about the church, let church leaders learn more about you, as well as then think ahead as if you might be interested in membership. You don't have to be committed to membership in the church to come to Newcomers, but it's a great time to learn about Asbury, learn some about its history. Also, if you are an old timer, not a newcomer, but you would be interested in learning more about Asbury and meeting some of Asbury's leaders, you're welcome to sit in on it as well. October 27, 9:45.
My name is Dave Phillips. I'm the coordinator of our garden ministry. I've got two announcements relative to the garden ministry. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're having a joint potluck out at Grace Evangelical Free Church. That's the church that has donated, right now, an acre of their land for our use. If it wasn't for that church, we wouldn't have a garden ministry right now. So we thought it would be good. Talking with an elder, Dave Link out there, we thought it'd be nice to have a joint potluck and members of the two congregations could get together and just socialize a little bit. And it's going to be a little bit chilly. Put on your favorite sweater. Come on out, 4 to 6. And let's show our appreciation to that church for what they've done for our garden ministry. It's touching the lives of thousands in our community. And also, we started stripping our tomato plants this week, taking off the bigger tomato plants. There are literally hundreds, maybe thousands of green tomatoes on the ground. So if you're into making fried green tomatoes, salsa, come out and help yourself. There's some real nice tomatoes on the ground. So help yourself. Thank you.
And did we have it? And we do have the October Congregational Challenge, which is to use less plastic. And if you're like me, I'm amazed at how much recycling I take out to the curb every week, as opposed to my normal garbage. It's growing and growing. So I certainly could use less plastic at home. So some of the things we could do would be to refuse plastic straws, to use returnable containers, to use a reusable water bottle, and to choose paper, milk, and juice cartons whenever possible.
So I might want to add to that. In the pews, there's like a response card, like a Stewards of Creation card. And part of what we're trying to do is just share the stories. If you've done something, you've tried to use less plastic or a straw or something, I mean, just to be able to share that, write that down. You can put it in the offering plate. It's part of our offering. But then as we collect those, then we have stories to share with each other about the ways that we're trying to save the environment, save the creation. And so those cards are going to be kind of like in the pews the next few weeks throughout the month as you respond to that challenge and you have a story to tell of an experience that you had with that. You just write it on there and put it in the offering plate. That can be part of our offering each week. So, yeah,
thanks. Thank you, Pastor Tom. Are there any other announcements anybody needs to make, would like to make? Yes.
And we'll be painting and constructing and things. So we're looking for just helpers with busy hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Any other announcements this morning? Okay, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Oh, excuse me. We have the choral intro it. Sorry. Thank you, choir. And now please stand and join me in the call to worship. A man had 100 sheep and discovered that one was lost. A woman had 10 coins and discovered that one was lost.
She discovered her home, found the coin, and invited her friends to celebrate.
A man had 2 sons. He found it hard for them to be a family.
He rejoiced when one son returned home. He invited his other son to celebrate with him.
Our God searches for the vulnerable.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Please join me in the unison prayer. There is so much pain in this world, O Lord. Give us eyes to see those that are hurting. Give us hearts to reach out and share your reckless love with them. Put aside our human standards that judge who is worthy of love. Instead, let us care for all people, and especially the vulnerable among us. Provide us with words of assurance and acts of mercy towards those who need our love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now we'll take a time of passing and sharing the peace of Christ with each other.
Thank you.
card.
Okay, now this morning we will share any of the joys and concerns we have for prayer. Just stand up, raise your hand, and an usher will come up.
Darvin Schroeder, holding in prayer this morning, neighbor Harold, who in the next, by the end of October, will relocate to Des Moines to be near family and thus have the care that he needs in his present situation. He's not only a neighbor, but we graduated from DHS 69 years ago.
Mary Jo Patrick, and my husband Larry had his back surgery Friday, and everything went well. It's going to take a long road to recovery, but thanks for your prayers.
Good morning, Joe Buck. It's a pleasure this morning to welcome to our congregation, or to our service, Ms. Erica Holmberg and her parents from not 69 years ago, but Erica's mother sang Augustana Choir with me, and it's my pleasure to have her here today because she's going to sing along with the choir in a solo part. I wanted also to let you know she's going to play a cello piece in place of the prayer hymn here, meditation. So when we get to the prayer hymn, we'll hear that instead. Her piece is a meditation by Frank Bridge.
Thank you, Joe.
Pam, just prayers. One thing is that today our district superintendent, Doug Q, will be installed at a special service in Mount Pleasant at 2:30, which is like really inconvenient for us, but I'm going to go. If anybody else wants to come with me, I'm going to go down and with that. And then our Bishop, Lori Haller, will be having like a vision casting time at Mount Pleasant at 4 o'clock as well afterwards. So again, if anyone would like to go with me, I'll be glad to take a carload. So that's a second thing in prayer that, you know, one of the things that I do to represent you and our church and Jesus is being involved in the community is serving as a chaplain with the police department here in Bettendorf. So this past week, I had my first call to help with a death notification. So certainly prayers for our police department and the work that we do together. And also prayers, because tomorrow they've asked me to have a presentation kind of to the whole department for the kind of a training session. So I'm a little bit nervous about standing about the whole police department and try to share some thoughts about how we might work together. But I appreciate the prayers for that. So
thank you. Okay, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
you would join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just lift up our praises to you, praises for surgeries that have been your hands, that have been complete and are healing. We lift up to you, Father, thanksgiving for the guidance that you bless us with. When we have a road to cross, we have a path to finish. Lord, we just pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the first responders, our policemen, our firemen, that duties we know so many, so less about as much as they do. We pray, Father, that you would be with Pastor Tom tomorrow as he gives his presentation to them. May the words of the Holy Spirit be spoken through him. Lord, we just lift up our world to you. We lift up all of the poverty. We lift up all of the poor and the sick. And we just pray that your healing hand would be upon them. And we lift up all of the prayers that have been unspoken this morning, prayers that are upon our congregation's heart, and ask for answers for them, Lord. We lift these things all up to you, and we ask these with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a lame man from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This time I'd like to invite the children to come up, and as they're doing that, we'll sing together the song, Love, 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 to this town. Well, you'll recognize the tune. All right, good morning. Good to see you guys this morning. So here's what we're thinking about today. We're going to read a story in just a minute where Jesus healed somebody. And part of what's interesting about the story, Jesus, this person had demons in him, and he cast out the demons. Now, when we think about, 2,000 years ago, people thought differently than they do today in some ways. They didn't know the things that we know today about some things. They're bad, that's right, they're bad. But sometimes when we read about in the Bible, there are some things that happen to people that they try to explain it with demons that today we might not think of it that way. For example, Do you know what a germ is?
No.
Yes.
What's a germ?
It's these tiny, tiny little things that grow multiple and multiple, and they get into your skin, and when you sneeze, they go all over the place.
Okay, that sounds good. These little tiny, tiny things that can get into your skin, and if you sneeze, they go all over the place. Right, that's what a germ is, and a germ can spread disease and make people sick, right? So what sort of things that we do to prevent germs? Do we wash our hands?
Yeah.
Right?
Go to the doctor.
Or we might go to the doctor.
If we are sick.
If you're sick, or if you sneeze, maybe you sneeze into your sleeve or your arm. We learn to do that differently now, don't we? Okay. So in some ways, germs are kind of like demons in that they make people sick or don't feel well or don't do the right thing. And Jesus' love is something that casts out just like a germ. Sometimes there's physical germs that we can't see, can we? But we know they make our bodies sick, right? And sometimes there's thoughts inside our head that don't make us feel good either. Thoughts that like, oh, we're not a good person or nobody cares about us. Those are thoughts that don't come from God at all, are they?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we can do, they're kind of like germs. One of the ways that we can cast out those kind of thoughts is to remember the thoughts and the teachings that God gave us, that Jesus loves us, Jesus cares about us, He'll always want us to care for each other too. And when we remember those thoughts and how God is with us and Jesus' presence loves us, it's kind of like casting out those demons that are thoughts like about being feeling sad, like nobody cares about me, or we don't like that person, or some of those thoughts, things inside of us that aren't good for us either. Just like we wash our hands, that sort of casts out the demons that are like germs, right, that would make us sick. Right, and we remember the good ways that God loves us and is always with us and that Jesus cares for us and that you are important to God, that can also cast out some of those bad thoughts that make us not think about good things, okay?
Okay.
So even though we're going to read our story where a man was healed by Jesus, we're remembering how Jesus still heals us and cares about us and wants the best for us too and gives us good thoughts inside, all right? How's that? Now, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to give you, I have like a little bracelet that you can put on your wrist that reminds you, see there's a little heart there? That reminds you of the good thoughts, the good teaching of God's love for us, and that can kind of cast out any kind of bad thoughts that we might have that are not healthier from God, okay? Okay, well, let's pray first. Can you pray with me? I'll say a prayer, then you can say it right after me, okay? Ready? Dear God, thank you for your love. And your power, to cast out all kinds of bad things. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, our choir is going to come sing, and you guys can take a little bracelet here that can remind you of God's love. There you go. There you go.
While the choir is making their way up, I want to tell you just a word about this anthem. It's a very powerful statement of faith at a time when there were lots of bad thoughts to cast out, and these words were found on the wall in a home where some Jewish people were hiding during World War II. The words say, "I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when God is silent."
So
Thank you. Boy, that was a powerful message. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. I believe in God even when he's silent. Oh, thank you very much. Great solo too. Thank you. I want to share our gospel reading this morning and to turn to the gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And I want to set this up for you. This is early in Jesus' ministry, and he's in that northern area of the Holy Land called Galilee. And that's where the Sea of Galilee is. And, you know, recently I was talking about the Jewish folks that were primarily on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. So that on the eastern side would have been the Gerasenes. We're talking about them today, but people who were not Jewish. So in the Bible, when you read about Jesus going over to the other side, it means they're traveling across the lake, but when they do that, they're not just on the other side of the lake. It's like they're in another country. They're in another culture. They're in another belief system. And so it's a good way of, you know, even that phrase, they went to the other side, just so that you know Jesus is out on the move. He's traveling. He's going to be with people where they are. And for the disciples, especially we talked about last week, it can kind of take them out of their comfort zone. They're going into Samaria or here now, the land of the Gerasenes. And so, and again, this is a miracle story, Jesus with his disciples. And so Mark chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him and shouted out at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirit begged Jesus, "Let us go into the swine. Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city, in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. The very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was sitting in the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons, begged Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus refused him and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Thank God for our scriptures, the Word of God, for the people of God. Well, this past week, I pulled out my journal and was looking through my journal and wanting to get back in a more regular habit of writing in the journal. And so, but as I was kind of reflecting on some of them, some of it, I came to an article newspaper clipping that I had in my journal that I've kept since 2003. And it's an article about Todd, a fellow that I knew in the town where I lived. Todd had a car repair shop. And I'd take my car down to him to get it fixed. And trying again to make a connection with somebody in the community that way, I also needed my car fixed, so it was kind of a double thing. And Todd even visited our church a few times. And the article is actually an obituary, and I'd learned that Todd had taken his own life. And I felt like, what could I have done differently, perhaps? Or one of those things, had no idea the troubles or the things that whatever was going through his mind. And so since that time, I've kept the article just to remind me about Todd and to think about what might I do, or the realization you never know what's going through people's minds in the lives that we share our lives with. So then later in the week, I was preparing for this sermon, a part of our series about reckless love. A love that goes out in a reckless way without regard for self to try to care for others and to share God's love with other people. And so we've had the series that began Begin With Love. And we're using this with our study book, a book that we're going through by Tom Berlin about reckless love. And so each chapter begins with a different letter, of which has been our sermon themes. So begin with love. Start every day with the reminder that you love God with everything we've got. To expand the circle, that God's love is like a ripples in a pond that goes beyond and beyond meant to. And the acronym spells out Be Love. I mean, that's where these letters are coming from, that we're meant to be love. So begin with love, expand the circle, lavish love, a love that goes above and beyond. You know, even to love our neighbors and expect nothing in return. Lavish love, now I've got to remember, open-hearted love, which was meant to be, you know, open to people who are different than us, and to be curious and welcome folks that have, from a different perspective. Now we're up to V. Did you see the sermon title for today? Value the vulnerable. Now, as I'm preparing for the sermon, you know, this week, thinking about, well, you know, what is more vulnerable? Or the whole definition of vulnerable, people who cannot help themselves. They're weak in some way and subject to more powerful or people that are around them that might abuse them or use them. Or they cannot get themselves out of their situation, perhaps. And so I was actually thinking about how, you know, the scripture reading this morning that I'd been preparing for and using in some ways talks about that vulnerable man who was possessed by demons. And how in Jesus' day, the whole thought about demons, when people were, you know, were sick, where they were ill, there were problems, they had, with what they knew at the time, they attributed to demons, to spirits that caused that. But how that similar type of a situation today we might recognize as mental illness. Or, you know, spirits or demons that torment people, we might recognize that there's something in their mind that is causing that to happen. And so I've been working on that. And so then later on, Pastor Heather sent me a text that said, do you realize this Thursday, October 10th, was Mental Health Awareness Day by the National Mental Health. So I was like, I did not know that. Sometimes things kind of pull together in a good way. So I want to share with you, I feel like God is pulling things together to share with you what we want to talk about today, how we value the vulnerable. And to raise the awareness of mental health issues as those who are vulnerable amongst us. And the idea that God can bring healing and hope in all of those situations. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we remember Todd today as we gather. And we also thank you for the chance that we have to listen for your word. And to ask you to redeem all the things that have happened in the past, so that as we go forward with your spirit, your presence, we can make the most of this life and share your love with the people around us so that they too can find healing and wholeness and hope in whatever it is that they are facing. For it is in your name of Jesus that we open the scriptures and seek your word for us today. Amen. Okay, so I've always loved this this passage out of the scripture, this healing that Jesus accomplishes. As again, he goes across the Sea of Galilee to a foreign country, the Gerasenes. And this tells us indeed that Jesus was getting out of his comfort zone. He was always on the road bringing the gospel to people, not just where he was, but then to help expand the horizons of his disciples, his followers, and to go to a different country. So he goes across the Sea of Galilee and there to the land of the Gerasenes. And for whatever reason, there is a fellow there who's, the description, he's possessed by demons. And what it would have looked like, he was like, I'm going to use the terminology that they might have used in their, something similar. But he was the crazy guy that was calming himself and crazy and howling out. Nobody could restrain him. And I'm really cautious about using that word because I know that's not an appropriate word when we're dealing with mental health. But in, what often happens is people put people in a box and they label them in some way. And here he was the demoniac. I mean, even the scriptures had a name for him, somebody who was possessed. And it says he was harming himself and nobody could restrain him. And he lived among the tombs. I mean, that's basically where nobody else were at. Now imagine the people in his community, what they would have thought about this fella. It's stay away from him. He's not safe. He's crazy. He's nuts out there. And so he would have been rejected. He would have been on his own. And Jesus, when he came to shore, somehow this fellow sees him and he's running to Jesus. I'm not sure what all is happening there, but as the story goes on, he runs to Jesus. Jesus doesn't run away. Can you imagine your disciples? Oh, here comes that guy. Let's get out of here. Jesus stood his ground. The guy came up to him and started an interaction. And as Mark tells the story, and he remembers it, Matthew and Luke also tells different versions of this story. Jesus asks him, "What is your name?" Now, we don't know, was he asking the demons or was he asking the fellow, but he's having a conversation with this man. "Who are you? What's your name?" And the response comes, "Well, we're legion," because it's a legion of demons that are speaking from within the man. And so, again, in that ancient mindset, that's how they explained things that were happening. And so the conversation goes on that Jesus, don't send us from this country, but let us go into that herd of swine. I mean, they knew Jesus is there to heal, to cast out those demons, those evil thoughts or whatever it was. And so there's a herd of swine. Now, because there's a herd of swine, that tells you it's not Jewish. I mean, this is not a Jewish area because, for the Jews, swine or pork is unclean meat. They don't eat pork. And so the fact that there's a whole herd of swine there tells you they're not in Jewish territory. And so they say, the demons say, "Well, let us go into the swine instead." So Jesus grants permission for that to happen. The demons leave the man. They go into the swine. And what very much characterizes the whole thought about demons or the devil or demonic activity is that it causes harm to yourself. And we see that when that happens. The demons go into the swine, the herd of swine, and it says like 2,000. So it's a big thing. They all go rushing down the hill and basically die there in the Sea of Galilee in the water. They drown there in the water. But the man, he's sitting there in his right mind. He's healed. He's sane. He's himself. And the swine herders, I mean, the people who would have been taking care of the pigs and stuff, they see what's happening. They've lost their flock, or who knows what they're thinking. But they go into town and they tell everybody what happened. "This is amazing. This is incredible. This fellow, crazy Joe out there, well, now he's not so crazy anymore. But the demons, they all went, and the swine, they went." So everybody comes out. But interesting, they are, here's a healing, a powerful thing that's happened. But it says the village people were afraid. And they begged Jesus, "Would you leave? We don't know what to do about this. Would you go away from us?" Imagine, here's the Messiah, someone who can heal people, and it scares them. And they say, would you leave? So Jesus, gets in the boat. They're getting ready to go back again. And the demoniac, as the scripture calls him, but the man who had been possessed by demons, he comes to Jesus and he begs him, Let me be with you. Let me come with you. This is one of the things I think is most fascinating. You know, how many times does Jesus say, follow me, come with me, I'll make you fishers, follow me. Here's a guy begging, let me follow you, let me come with you. But did you hear the response? Jesus says to that man, no, I want you to stay here. I mean, why would you follow somebody, a teacher, to learn more, to receive more, to get, but it's almost like Jesus said, no, you've got enough. You go back now to your village and to your home and to your family, and you tell the people there what the Lord has done for you. I'm not sure if there's many other instances where Jesus says to somebody, nope, you've got it. You go back and proclaim the word. And it says, and he went then and to tell everybody what happened. The Decapolis is the name of the region. It's like the 10 cities that are in that on that eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. So now the word about Jesus is spreading amongst that part of the world as well. Now, again, this is clearly a story that Mark tells us about the power of Jesus as the Son of God to cast out demons and the authority that Jesus has. But again, when we go back 2,000 years, it was a different way that people thought. When somebody was sick, when somebody something bad was happening, the mindset was it must have been a demon. It was demons that caused illness. They don't understand about germs that we do now or other physical illnesses, why they happen. Surely there were people in Jesus' day who had mental illness and things that would have caused them to act inappropriately in their society. I mean, why couldn't there be? And at that point, they would not have had an understanding of mental illness that they probably would have chalked it up to demons. Was that what was happening here? We don't really know for sure. The point is that there was a healing, and this man was made whole. And somehow, Jesus was able to bring that about. It truly is a story about the power of God present in Jesus. We can get into all kinds of details about was it mental illness, was it demons, or how did the demons go into the swine. And to try to figure it out that way, I think really misses the point. The point is that God is present in Jesus, has the power to heal. And call them demons or call whatever it is, the thoughts. I mean, that's a true indication of what is demonic in this world is when it's self-destructive. Or it's harmful to someone else. I mean, that's truly the work of a demon. It makes good things look bad and bad things look good. And doesn't that happen in our world still today? Now, the power, the presence of God in Jesus is to help set things straight and see appropriately so we can see good things as good things and bad things as bad things and try to love as God loves and treat other people as God would have us treat them. Now, I wanted to give you an illustration of what this might have felt like in today's world. I mean, anybody seen I don't know that we would think so much about casting out demons like we'd see in the story here. When we talk about healing someone, we don't go to a witch doctor. We go to a physical healer to bring about a physical healing. We understand the world differently than in Bible times. But I want to show you a movie clip in just a second that might give a feeling, a sense of what a healing might look like in today's world. And this will be a clip from the movie A Beautiful Mind. If any recall that movie several years ago, the story of John and Alicia Nash. And John Nash was a brilliant mathematician who went to Princeton and worked on mathematical formulas, but also game theory, or how people interact with each other. And he was brilliant, and he wrote a theory, but he was also tormented by schizophrenia. And so he was delusional in that he saw things and saw people who weren't really there. And as time went on, his delusions got stronger and stronger. And he became a danger, not to himself, but to his family and his wife. So his wife, Alicia, stood by him the whole time. And part of in preparation for the clip that you're going to see, what has happened is that John has been suffering with the schizophrenia. He's been diagnosed. Dr. Rosen has been his doctor. He's undergone, difficult electroshock therapy treatments. And Alicia, his wife, has stood by him the whole time and says, I love you. I'm going to help you discern what's real and what's not. And there's a beautiful scene where she holds on to his hand and says, this is real. You know, I'm real. My love for you is real. But the delusions are still there. and he still wrestles with them. And so part of the healing, Dr. Rosen has said, is that if he could get back into a familiar setting and with a routine, that that might help. And so the scene that you're going to see is now he's gone back to Princeton, and a friend has allowed him to just be on campus once again. He'd previously even risen to the level of being a professor and instructor. But then when the delusions got stronger, that's where he had to be, the treatments and so on. But now he's had a chance to be back, but the demons aren't gone. And the visions that he sees, I mean, particularly three people, one's like an FBI agent that had previously told him he's got to work a secret assignment for the government. Another is a good friend, and a third is a little girl. So just as you watch what happens, what I want you to watch for is how he's tormented and what that might look like, and imagine the story from the Bible, but also how he's healed and how he also is sent back to like his home village, in a sense. Try to make the connections between the Bible story and this clip that you're going to watch. Okay, let's see if this works.
Is this what you are, soldier? Some useless ghoul? The local madman? I'm not a soldier. You're going to end up in a cell. Oh, worthless, discarded.
There's no mission.
And while you rock and drool, the world will turn to ashes.
You are not real. You are not real.
You're still talking to me, soldier.
There's no mission. I'm not a soldier!
John?
John? Hey, John, it's okay. I just heard what happened. I'm sorry, John.
I'm not a soldier.
John, hey, Nash, hey. Hey, you all right? Nash.
Ladies and gentlemen, great John Nash!
Everybody's just staring at me.
John, you know that stress triggers the delusions.
I know. But then on the way home, Charles was there. Sometimes I really miss talking to him. Maybe Rosen's right. Maybe I have to think about going back to the hospital again.
Come here. Maybe try again
your course.
It's an honor, Professor Nash. Is something wrong?
This will be my first class. Good morning. Evie Young Miles.
Okay, so how was the healing that happened there? You notice how she touched him. She held on to him. She said, I'll be with you. He was sent back and re-entered his community. And he went on then to 1994, won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work in mathematics. It was a great story. I recommend the movie to watch it again if you've not seen it before. But how that healing worked. Now, here's how John and Peter healed someone as well. The story that we read earlier is they're walking by, and here's a fella crippled by the city gate. It says they looked at him intently, and they said, "Look at us." And they reached out, and they touched him, and they held him and said, "I don't, you know, he's used to begging for things. I don't have anything, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed." And the man stood up, and he went leaping and running and praising God. I think there's something, that's how God still heals today. That with the Spirit of Jesus within us, we can see folks who are the vulnerable and see them for who they are as a child of God. And being in a relationship with them and just love them and accept them and touch them and care for them can provide a great healing. Well, as we look back and think about, oh, could we have done something differently for someone to help them? That's never a good answer, never a good question to ask. This is suicide awareness, was the theme for mental health, the mental health day on Thursday. People who commit complete suicide, if we look back, that's not a question, what could we have done differently? But suicide is preventable, and mental health is treatable looking forward. And we can be a part of what God is doing to care for people, beginning with simply seeing them and acknowledging them and loving them as God has loved them. That's how we can value the vulnerable, and God can work through you. Amen. Well, we want to respond to how God is working in our lives now by sharing our tithes and our offerings. The ushers will come forward. And as you feel led to be a part of what God is doing through this church and the church around the world, we'll receive those tithes and offerings now.
Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Come, Almighty, come to deliver. Let us all thy grace receive. Hasten to return and never, never more thy temple leave. Thee would we be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Love divine, all love divine.
Stand and sing our praises to God as our offerings are presented.
please pray with me the prayer of dedication? We thank you, good shepherd, that you sought us out when we were lost and celebrated when we were found. Send us on a search mission that we may seek out the lost and the least. As we dedicate these gifts, we ask that they may be used in your work to care for the most vulnerable among us and those most in need of your love. Amen.
Sing the first verse of our hymn, Christ for the World We Sing. Friends, relationships are everything. We are not meant to be alone. And Jesus is that bridge that connects us to God and to other people. Your assignment this week is to look for the most vulnerable among you and look at them and see them and learn their name and extend to them the love that God would have for them. You never know what difference you will make as you love as God has loved us. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.